And you're listening to KTOO. I'm Jamie Deep. Thanks for tuning in. The Alaska House and Senate met today in Juneau, but adjourned in less than a minute. A total of 5 lawmakers showed up for the floor sessions and took no action. They needed to meet to prevent Governor Mike Dunleavy from calling the legislature back for another special session. Senate President Gary Stevens, a Republican from Kodiak, says lawmakers already achieved their goals for the special session. He says there's no reason to bring more lawmakers down to Juneau than necessary.
We didn't accomplish anything today other than following the legal issues of calling ourselves back in, doing a technical session.
Dunleavy called a special session earlier this summer for lawmakers to consider his education reform policies and to create a new state agriculture department. But instead, within hours of convening, lawmakers overrode 2 of his vetoes. They restored more than $50 million in state funding for public schools that Dunleavy cut when he signed the budget. They also strengthened the authority of the legislative auditor. The governor can call another special session once members gavel out on August 31st, but Speaker of the House Bryce Edgman, an independent from Dillingham, says that wouldn't accomplish much.
We're going to stand our ground. We've made it quite clear on terms of policy measures, and if he wants to call us back in to second verse, same as the first, the results are going to be second verse, same as the first, too.
Both Stevens and Edgman say they have had no communication with Dunleavy or his staff since lawmakers last convened. In a statement, the governor's communications director, Jeff Turner, said a public announcement will be made if the governor plans to call another special session. He says the legislature's actions were disappointing. A group of state lawmakers are expected to meet later this month to kick off a task force on education funding. The aim is to discuss ways to improve Alaska's public schools, examine state funding, and look at Dunleavy's proposed policies. A temporary levee in Juneau's Mendenhall Valley mostly held back record-breaking floodwaters during the glacial outburst last Wednesday, but water lapped just inches from the top and there was some leakage, flooding some homes. Some residents are worried the city's temporary levee won't hold up next year. City officials say they will stabilize the riverbank, repair the levee, and build it higher for a flood that could break the record again. At an assembly meeting Monday, Debbie Penrose Fisher, a Mendenhall Valley resident who leads a flood advocacy group, called it a near miss.
What if it had still been high tide and the rain had continued? If those conditions had prevailed, many believe this would have been another flood disaster.
Last year, her home on G Street flooded and she was rescued on a raft. Her home didn't flood this year, but she says she still doesn't feel safe. The levee was controversial and it is considered a stopgap solution. The city doesn't know how it would perform in floods larger than 18 feet. Experts still don't know how big the flood could get, but it has grown over the past 3 years. 15 feet in 2023, then 16 feet in 2024, now more than 16.5 feet. 25 homes along the river flooded because the barriers leaked, and some barriers on Riverside Drive slumped towards the rushing river because the water eroded the land beneath them. City Manager Katie Kester said the HESCO barriers that make up the city's levee sustained about $1 million worth of damage during the flood.
But it really demonstrated how temporary those HESCO barriers are in nature, right? There's a lot of vulnerabilities, there's seepage, There's undermining of the armament, right, that we have to care for.
Researchers and officials are still evaluating the data from the flood, which the city will use to plan for future floods. Allison Cooper lives in the flood zone and testified at the meeting to thank the city for building the temporary levee.
I feel for my neighbors that got water in their house, but there weren't very many of them. Mostly there were hundreds of homes that were spared, and there were hundreds of people like me, whose lives were not turned upside down this year. And I just want to thank him.
But many flood zone residents still question whether the temporary levee will be enough to protect their homes next year. And the president of the Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska, Chathiish Richard Peterson, has returned from personal leave following accusations of misconduct that circulated widely online earlier this month. Tlingit and Haida is Southeast Alaska's largest tribal government. Peterson has been its president since 2014. His personal leave last week coincided with abuse accusations made by a former fiancé of Peterson that spread broadly on social media. The tribe's first vice president, Kusin Jacqueline Peta, informed Tlingit and Haida staff in an email that the tribe's executive council was aware of the online accusations. She wrote that the council was taking the matter, quote, very seriously, and initiated a review. Peta served as acting president in Peterson's absence. Last week, a spokesperson for the tribe said in a written statement that the council, quote, initiated an internal review and confirmed our workplace policies and practices remain sound. She did not say whether the review was of Peterson's alleged conduct or of the tribe's policies and did not answer any other questions. She did not say whether the tribe's policy and practices address informal allegations. As of today, no official charges have been filed against Peterson, and the tribe has not confirmed whether a formal complaint was made against him. The tribe's executive council, which includes the president, is required to adhere to a code of conduct adopted by the tribe. The code states that members must not engage in, quote, any form of sexual harassment, coercion, or misconduct, end quote, and that members are required to self-disclose if they believe their actions fall short of council standards and may negatively impact the perception of the tribe. The code states that violations may result in disciplinary action, up to and including removal from office. Following the accusations, some tribal members have asked for more transparency from the tribe. A group has gathered nearly 300 signatures calling on Tlingit and Haida to hire an independent trauma-informed investigator to review policy and leadership behavior following the accusations. The Executive Council's next regular meeting is on Friday and will be open for public comment. Alaska Marine Lines will no longer ship electric vehicles or plug-in hybrid vehicles to Alaska or Hawaii. Last week, the barge company announced the policy change in a statement due to the fire risk associated with shipping large lithium-ion batteries. AML's decision to stop shipping electric vehicles means reduced access for communities off the road system in southeast Alaska, where EVs have become an increasingly popular option. Alaskans can still bring electric vehicles up by ferry, though it can take longer. The Alaska Marine Highway System limits its policy to 2 electric vehicles per sailing. Sam Dapsevich is a spokesperson for the Alaska Department of Transportation. He says once electric vehicles catch fire, they're challenging to put out.
EV fires, I believe, kind of burn until they go out, and so you have to kind of contain them. Each vessel has 2 specialized blankets on board that can be thrown over a vehicle and it sort of smothers it. And we also have a policy to park those vehicles in a specific location on the ship, and we provide extra room around them for the possibility of needing to fight a fire.
In June, a cargo ship southwest of Adak caught fire in the open ocean. It was carrying over 3,000 vehicles, including nearly 700 hybrid vehicles and around 70 fully electric vehicles. All crew members were rescued, but the U.S. Coast Guard could do little to contain the blaze due to the risks associated with lithium-ion batteries. The ship burned for days before ultimately capsizing and sinking. Dapsevich says it's not just the fire that makes EVs high risk, especially on a passenger vessel like a state ferry.
It's not just the fire that's dangerous, it's the toxic fumes, and you're in an enclosed space. Through the ventilation system in the vessel, they can travel into passenger spaces, and so it's just a very dangerous situation to have an EV fire on a boat, and that's part of why we limit it.
Dapsevich says Alaskans looking to bring up electric vehicles from the lower 48 should flag that information when they're making a ferry reservation. In an email to KCAW, Alaska Marine Lines spokesperson Ryan Dixon said the barge company would continue to reassess its decision to stop shipping electric vehicles as industry safety standards improve. Hybrid vehicles that do not plug in will still be allowed on the company's cargo ships, as well as smaller electric recreational vehicles like e-bikes and four-wheelers. The new policy is effective immediately for central and western Alaska and Hawaii, but the change doesn't go into effect for southeast until September 1st. And Petersburg is updating its emergency plans for the first time in 15 years. To prepare, emergency services staged a mass casualty drill last weekend. KFSK's Hannah Weaver has more.
EMT 2 is on here.
En route.
We are tossing
inside an ambulance, medical assistant Katie Pearson is dealing with chaos.
Okay, we're gonna
her
head
is in her face.
All right, ma'am, I'm going to check your head. Okay.
Thankfully, it's not real. It's just Petersburg community members committed to their roles as victims in a disaster drill.
Okay.
Instead of transporting them to the hospital, the ambulance drives to the community center. That's because in this scenario, there's not enough room in the hospital. Earlier in the day, volunteers helped set up the shelter in the community center gym with nearly 100 Army Green cots. The shelter is designed using guidelines from the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA. It's meant to help in all sorts of disasters, including fires, floods, or landslides.
FEMA has a saying, all disasters start local and end local.
Aaron Hankins is Petersburg's Emergency Services Director. He helped plan the drill because...
especially here where we're on an island, it's important for us to be prepared to at least be able to initially deal with a disaster, even if at some point we start to get overwhelmed.
The Red Cross initially reached out to Hankins about doing the training since they haven't been to Petersburg in several decades. Hankins says it was perfect timing because he's working on a new emergency plan for the borough that includes a new shelter.
Ideally, it's updated every 5 years. It has been some time. The last one that was officially adopted by the borough was 2010.
Hankins also leads plane crash drills every few years, but this drill takes it a step further, thinking beyond just the immediate effects of a disaster. Hankins' goal is to plan a system that will provide longer-term shelter and support. That includes spiritual guidance, feminine hygiene products, and even an area for pets.
And so that was one of the recommendations from the Red Cross is try and keep activity in town as much as you can normal. You know, the more that gets affected, the more people get stressed, etc.
Back at the drill, Heather Bauscher is sitting in the fire station waiting for the ambulance. She has a fake tourniquet on her arm, representing that she has lost a limb.
But if they get to me fast enough, it'll be all right. And I have a lot of confidence in the EMS personnel of Petersburg to look after us all. As I've been sitting here as a civilian in this scenario, I'm like, huh, this is probably pretty informative for in case I ever find myself in a situation like this.
Hankins says he's now putting what he learned from the drill into a new emergency plan and tells the community to stay tuned for future drills. In Petersburg, I'm Hannah Weaver.
And right now in Juneau, it's 68 degrees with a few clouds. This is KTOO.